We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for the next fiscal year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
For many feminists, there's this idea that the 20s are this time of utter and complete freedom so that you can live out all those teenage fantasies that apparently one decade isn't enough to contain.
The battles that we fought in the 80s, conflicts with the culture, humanly speaking, we have lost all those battles.
Mega churches are a house of cards. Mega churches really are the primary example of what's wrong with evangelicalism, why it's so thin, so insubstantial, so unsatisfying.
The gospel is not only the message that the church takes to the world, the gospel is the source of the church's very existence.
I'm a little bit worried, to tell you the truth, because in a half hour we've got soundbite of the week. We've got the soundbites ready to go. But the last time I checked with Jeff here, we don't have any, no votes for Soundbite of the Week have come over the transom, which is extremely rare. We usually have a stack of email voting for Soundbite of the Week on Friday afternoon. And Jeff and I were both checking to see if the email link was still working because there were no votes. And I'm a little concerned. Jeff doesn't have to worry because he just sits in there, twiddles his thumbs. But in a half hour, I might have to vamp for a half hour, which I don't do. I mean, others can do it, but I don't vamp very well. I depend on guests, careful thought, planning, all of those kinds of things. Coming up in a half hour, soundbite of the week here on Issues Etc. As usual for Friday afternoons, it's June the 19th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We start out with a listener email. We got plenty of that. We always have plenty of that. Then we'll pick our Issues Etc. blog post of the week. We'll play soundbite of the week with or without your votes. We will play because it's on the show seats. And then in the second hour of the program, we're going to spend some time listening to our listeners on the comment line, and then Brigitte Gabriel will join us, author of the book, They Must Be Stopped, Why We Must Defeat Radical Islam, and How We Can Do It. We'll talk to her in the last half hour of the program about the protests in the aftermath of last week's presidential election in Iran. Our call-in number live this Friday afternoon, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Or talkback at issuesetc.org, talkback at issuesetc.org.
Father's Day this weekend.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
What's Wilkin want for Father's Day?
What do I want? I want a new pair. I already told my wife this. I want a new pair of cargo
pants. You asked for stuff for Father's Day.
Well, she asked me, what do you want? And I said, I want a new pair of cargo pants.
No.
No, the man prees that people love so much. Yeah. Have you seen? I was wearing them yesterday. Okay. A pair of Levi Strauss tan-colored cargo shorts. That's all they are. They're called by some of our listeners manprees. I don't, because apparently they're too long or too short. I don't know which one it is. But I was wearing them yesterday. They've got holes worn in them. They would make great yard pants now, but they're not even suitable for the zero dress code we have around here. I feel kind of embarrassed wearing them in. So if you notice today, wearing my running shorts. Because the manprees are practically falling apart. So that's what I asked for. I don't know if I'm going to get it, but that's what I asked for. That and peach cobbler, which I made for myself last night.
What about some chalada?
Chalada would be great, yeah. But there's always, you got to understand, I never let the chalada supply in the Wilkin icebox get below a certain level. I always keep that thing topped off.
Hey,
that's
Jeff,
emergency rations.
Jeff, I think they keep the manprees in the women's department.
Then they wouldn't be manprees. No, I bought these things probably 15 years ago at a Walmart someplace in Oklahoma. And I know I bought them because we were on our way down to Dallas and we were headed down. I needed some shorts to wear. We walked into the Walmart. They were the first thing I saw. I picked them up. And they've lasted me a long time. But now they don't even rise to the level of our completely lax dress code around here. You know, people are going to get a chance to see how lax our dress code is coming up here in a couple of weeks.
No, we got it. We can't just.
I've been struggling over this, Jeff. I don't know what to do Because if I dress up for the anniversary open house, I will be betraying the truth of what this place is all about. I mean, we're trying to stress casual, right?
Right.
We're trying to stress casual, hamburgers and hot dogs. Don't come dressed in a bow tie. We're trying to stress all of this. And if people show up and they see me in a suit and tie, they're going to think this is a fancier operation than it really is. I mean, I only own one suit. Most of my clothes are church picnic casual, I can guarantee you. So I don't know what I'm going to do yet. I'm gonna roll those dice on Tuesday morning, June the 30th.
How about those new man priests? That might be a good day to break them in.
Hey,
debut.
That would be awesome if I get them for Father's Day.
Todd Wilkin bringing metrosexual back.
Yeah, hey. Metrosexual is not a term I don't think anyone's ever associated with the way I dress.
Hey, is it all right to you dubbed the segment as listener email? Can we read snail mail? Is that doable?
Sure.
Is that,
yeah.
Are we sure?
The old
can
I
we check
I,
the.
I don't like the term snail mail, thought, but we can read regular postal mail.
I
sure.
thought there was a convention resolution in the LCMS convention in Houston that said we couldn't do that back in 2007. It was like 1.08 bylaw something.
Yeah, there probably was, but I don't think we're paying too much attention to those things now.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's good. Ray in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. Hey, Ray, thank you so much. He said, I heard a while back about your lack of a bottle opener in the LPR bunker. I also heard you received one out of a car trunk, so I thought it was time to upgrade your bottle opener options, mobile or stationary. Point Beer is brewed in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. If I could get to Collinsville, I would bring the beer to you, too. I'll have to wait on that for a while. He said, this small token is an appreciation of your one-year return. Keep destroying the works of the devil. Thank you so much, Ray in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin.
He actually sent us a bottle opener, the kind that you can actually affix to the wall and then do the old, Craig knows this action very well, kind of the pump handle action of opening the bottle against the wall there.
This is going to mean that I don't have to use a tool, the wrench, one of the open-end wrenches, to open if we've got a root beer or, dare I say it, a bottle of beer or two in the fridge.
But we already
have. No more wrench.
We already have two bottle openers.
Remember
here.
Remember Pastor Asbury brought that one from his trunk?
Hold on.
Yeah, he did, but I think just out of tradition, I think I kept using the wrench out of the
tool
kit.
You just like doing things the hard
way. Thanks, Ray.
We've got this one right here, which was delivered to us from Pastor Asbury out of the trunk of his car. And then we have the one that was sent to us all the way from either Kuwait or Iraq. I can't remember which one. Which is a Camp Liberty. It's in the shape of a pair of dog tags. That's hanging on the wall over here. And now we have one that we can put on the wall. So wherever we are, we're never more – we're kind of like these NRA guys. Wherever we are, we're never more than 5 feet from a bottle opener. That's a pretty good position to be in, considering we started with zero bottle openers a year ago. That's pretty good.
All right. We're almost 8 minutes into the show, and now we will get to some listener email. Maybe not.
Hey, Todd, did you hear Jeff earlier in the back practicing the email? I heard him out here. I was working on some other stuff. He's practicing reading the email.
This is called...
It's called professional. It's called read before you speak, especially when you're a low-life producer like me.
All right, let's see if it paid off.
He had some trouble with, I think I heard back there, he had a trouble with the word the.
All right, most email this week, reaction to your interview earlier this week with Cantor Phil Magnus about children and worship. Here's one from Kay in Maryland. Thank you for having Cantor Magnus on to talk about children and worship. He did a great job of explaining why children belong with the family of God during the divine service and how their presence there through life will establish the habit of worship and the liturgy for them. I would add that another reason children belong in church is in our Lutheran understanding of what worship is. As was mentioned, other denominations often emphasize moral teaching in worship, so it is understandable that children who cannot grasp all of that at an adult level will do better in children's church or Sunday school. However, we understand that worship is truly a place where God comes to us to pour out his gifts of word and sacrament. There is no reason that our children cannot receive these gifts alongside us, just as they did when they were first baptized as infants. Thanks for listening, and thanks for the email, Kay in Maryland.
That is straight to the point, and that's exactly, and I think Phil Magnus would agree 100%. It's not just about our children needing to see how it is the church worships. It's because our children are fully qualified to participate in that way of receiving God's gifts in the divine service, too. How do you put that in the simplest terms? Children need the forgiveness of sins, too. You send them out to be entertained with ditties and happy songs and clapping and puppet shows. While the parents may be receiving the forgiveness of sins in the divine service, you aren't doing your children any service at all. In fact, you're doing them a tremendous disservice. They need forgiveness too. Little sinners, big sinners, all need the same Jesus.
Todd in Baraboo, Wisconsin, he says, I want to thank you for an excellent segment on children and church. I am a former confessional DCE, Director of Christian Education. I know, almost an oxymoron. This is Todd's words, not mine. And now a confessional member of a congregation, have been trying to educate congregations for years on these same issues. Didn't Luther say that it is the father's vocation for him to teach the family the word of God? And does not the historic liturgy reflect what Scripture teaches us? I have two smaller children, and it brings me great joy as my children ask me and the pastor of our congregation questions about what we see in church and during the worship service. As I see these things, my response is, thanks be to God. When I visit my mother-in-law's congregation, still in Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod and Name Only congregation, I am questioned why I will not let my children go to children's church. I respond, worship is for all ages. Why would I not want my children to learn what grown-up church is like? Did not Jesus tell us in Matthew, let the children come to me? Why would I not want my children to be in a place where Christ comes to us and give us his gifts? A suggestion I have for parents with small children, if you cannot sit farther in the pews so the children can observe the things that happen during a worship service, try bringing a booster seat so they can sit higher up in the pew and be able to see what is going on. And Todd in Baraboo, Wisconsin concludes, as a relatively new listener to Issues, etc., I thank you for all the hard work lining up tremendous speakers from within and outside our synod. Issues has truly been a blessing in my life and has brought me out of some difficult times as I re-examine the vocation that God has given me outside the church. Todd in Baraboo, Wisconsin.
What can I say? Smartest listeners in radio. There's no doubt about it. More listener email after this.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
On behalf of the staff of Issues, etc., thanks to the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring Issues, etc. back, Burnell Bittner, Gary Albrand, Pamela Foster, Jeff Foster, Don and Charlotte Nordling, Ashley Sutter, Arlen Zaruba, Betty Moeller, Judy Sharp Sokolik, and Eric Thompson. Thanks for your support.
We at NewReformationPress.com are committed to providing a hand-picked selection of books and teaching materials that educate, inform, and entertain while relentlessly focusing on the gospel. Discover our growing library of resources by Dr. Rod Rosenblatt of the White Horse Inn radio program, including his powerful address, The Gospel for Those Broken by the Church, or Bible in an Hour by Pastor Wade Butler. And be sure not to miss our selection of t-shirts, gifts, and artwork. NewReformationPress.com. Finally, Reformation theology made accessible.
Faithful confession trumps company loyalty. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What does Issues Etc. mean to you? Later this month, we'll celebrate the one-year anniversary of the return of Issues Etc., and we want to hear from you. Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. 618-223-8384. What does Issues Etc. mean to you? 618-223-8384.
Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
When God says, you are holy, for Christ's sake, the commandment has been kept for you, then in fact, we are holy. We have kept the commandments, even though everything we see about ourselves cries to the opposite.
When you hear pastors who are preaching how to, you need to flee. this kind of preaching will destroy your faith. What the president is saying is, yes, we are going to clone, but we are not going to allow the clone to survive. When we sing contemporary songs that have been picked out for us by Becky, we dislocate ourselves from the great theology of our Christian faith.
Soundbite of the week in 20 minutes here on Issues Etc. By the way, if you want to know who Becky is, you're going to have to listen to that Soundbite of the Week, issuesetc.org. I think it's soundbite number 4, Warren Cole Smith, on who picks out the songs in contemporary worship services today. We're going through listener email, then we'll have blog of the week. Then, as I said, Soundbite of the Week. Get ready to call 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. Where we came from, Becky came had a different name. Where we came from, Becky was named Sandra. There was even a picture of her that we were often, well, not forced, but occasionally required to look upon with great fondness. But whether it's Becky or Sandra, it's a good question. Who's picking out the songs on Sunday morning in contemporary worship? Brigitte Gabriel will be our guest in the second hour of the program to talk about the protests in the aftermath of last week's presidential election in Iran. Our email address here in the studio on this Friday afternoon, talkback at issuesetc.org or 1-877-623-6943. One more thought on Todd in Wisconsin's email. You do well, fathers, coming up on Father's Day, to remember that while you are to teach your children in the home all the matters of the faith, the small catechism, you can do no better there. You can really do no better on Sunday morning than to bring your children to God's house, into the divine service, where your children can, along with you, receive the very things that Christ has purchased with his blood at the cross. That is not only instructing your children in the Christian faith, some of the best instruction they will ever receive, but it is also the one thing needful for your family. A pastor who's taking his children to a faithful congregation of hearing the preaching of law and gospel and receiving the gifts of God's grace in the sacraments does very well as a pastor. It is his highest duty as a father. I meant father. It's his highest duty as a father, layperson or pastor.
James in Ruma, Illinois. As a father of two boys and three girls, and as the pastor of many boys who don't have a dad in the home, like the teacher from England who wrote in, I very much enjoyed and learned from what Dr. Meg Meeker had to say about dads and boys. I'm now considering buying her books, especially after reading the reviews of her dad's and daughter's book, and finding the only negative ones come from people who are upset that she dares to think that parents should teach their kids about sex and religion. The caller from St. Charles, Kathy, mentioned how disastrous it is when moms undercut dads. I couldn't help thinking how amazing it is that it was exactly such a family, Isaac and Rebecca, that God used eventually to bring his son into our world so that there would be forgiveness for those and all familial failures, writes James in Ruma, Illinois.
And let me say this. There is no such thing as a family that has not failed. There's divorce, there's desertion, there's all sorts of things that can beset families. But even if the family has managed to stay together, mother and father, children all together, there's still enough failure to go all around, which means there ought to be enough forgiveness to go around, which brings us back to that whole issue of why the whole family ought to be at God's house. Now, easier said than done. But thank you very much. We appreciate being able to provide guests like Meg Meeker, who just kind of brings the pediatrician's, the sociologist's viewpoint toward this whole issue of fathers.
James in Pasco, Washington. He said, I heard Chuck Missler make the statement that out of political pressure, one of the church fathers, Origen, began to allegorize the millennium because having a Christ-dominated earthly kingdom did not sit well with the powers that be. Once that teaching took root, St. Augustine promoted it and the Reformation never dispensed with it. From this basis, Missler contends that the nation of Israel with the land must have its land in perpetuity. Can you address Mr. Missler's contention that amillennialism has its basis in 3rd to 4th century political pressure? Thanks for the email, James, in Pasco, Washington.
Well, it's a fiction. First of all, Origen had his problems, but to accuse Origen of bowing to political pressure, oh, it's unpopular. is to accuse in some ways a big sector of the church of bowing to political pressure. I think the earliest Christians were known for not doing that rather than doing that. They were quite comfortable with the notion that their views are going to be misinterpreted as political aspirations. But look at what they're proclaiming. Is someone before Origen proclaiming that Christ is supposed to be reigning for 1,000 literal years? See, what Chuck Missler teaches is that when Jesus came, he was supposed to set up an earthly kingdom centered in Jerusalem, but he failed because his own people rejected him, and they went to the plan B of crucifixion. What is the earliest church proclaiming? Jesus should be reigning, but he isn't? No, they're proclaiming Christ and him crucified and risen from the dead. That's what the apostles and the earliest Christians are proclaiming, not why isn't Jesus sitting on the throne in Jerusalem? He really should be. I would just say, show me the evidence, Mr. Missler, of any church father saying, well, Jesus should be ruling for 1,000 years right now, but he isn't. And maybe we should tone down all that Jesus should be ruling for 1,000 years, but he isn't, to keep the Roman government from being upset with us. Why were they being persecuted? Because they were proclaiming Christ's death and resurrection, not a plan B, plan A with no plan B. And the fact of the matter is the earliest Christians completely understood why Jesus came. He came precisely to die, and that the church age was not a parenthesis, and that the land promises made to the patriarchs in the Old Testament were all intended to point to Jesus, not to the people of Israel or the land. He just has history wrong.
Ray in L.A., I would like to say how extremely thankful and grateful I am for Issues Etc. and how much my life has been changed in the past year, due in no small part to the true doctrine and gospel you profess. A year ago, I was a fairly content Calvinist, pretty secure in my salvation, but struggling greatly with my own sinfulness and attempt to live as I ought. Since then, I have not only been shown how sinful I really am and how the assurance of my salvation was really in myself, my belief, my works, but I was shown the true forgiveness of Christ and that it is finished, as I have learned from you and from the pastor at the Confessional Liturgical Lutheran Church I found nearby. I am immensely blessed to be able to say that I am now being catechized and look forward to a life of repentance and forgiveness, instruction in the Lutheran confessions and doctrine, and profession of what Christ has truly done for me and for all of us. All praise and glory be to God. Thanks for the email, Ray in L.A.
Ray, thank you very much. And we're happy to have played our small part in bringing you to a full knowledge of the truth. We're happy to have done that. Is there an email in there about sheep stealing?
Yeah.
Because I want to follow up on that. Because this is precisely, I think, the two dovetail together.
Ron in Twin Cities. You just
read the email.
Okay, when would you consider something sheep stealing? Asking a Roman Catholic to come to your confessional Lutheran church, Missouri Synod Church. What about asking an evangelical to an LCMS church or reform? When do you cross the line of stealing sheep?
It's a good question. First of all, I had said something about the fifth commandment or the seventh commandment, you shall not steal, and stealing sheep. I think there is an application there. And if you will remember, what I said was there's a big difference between urging someone to leave false teaching and to find true teaching and what is genuinely sheep stealing, urging someone to leave true teaching for your church just because you want them in your church rather than in the other church. Here's the situation as it persists in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We have these sheep stealing congregations who will tell you, oh, that church down the street, they preach true. Yeah, it's true. It's boring, but it's true. They're not practicing anything false. The gospel's being preached purely there. But come to our church instead. That is sheep stealing. If there's a church down the street that is preaching people into hell with false teaching, the Church of Rome, if you consistently believe it, will preach you to hell. It will tell you that your works must be added to Christ's insufficient works for you to have salvation. And to urge someone to leave false teaching is not stealing sheep. It's finding lost sheep. There's a huge difference between stealing sheep from a safe, faithful shepherd and finding sheep who think they're safe but are really lost. So that's the difference. It has everything to do with what is being taught and preached and practiced in that church. And urge people to leave false teaching is not stealing sheep, it's finding lost sheep.
Hey, hats off to the Nebraska District Convention. They passed the resolution regarding issues, etc. I'll just read some of it. Whereas issues, etc. demonstrates a strong commitment to the scriptures and the Lutheran confessions. Whereas issues, etc. is now being produced independently as broadcast on the internet and on KNGN in McCook, Nebraska. Whereas issues, etc. is Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio. Resolved that the Nebraska District and Convention express gratitude to Mr. Jeff Schwarz and Reverend Todd Wilkin for their commitment to Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio. Resolved that the Nebraska District and Convention encourage the people of its congregations to prayerfully consider financial and other support for this program. And be it finally resolved that the Nebraska District and Convention express to the LCMS its disappointment in the canceling of issues, etc. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Nebraska District. Did it pass handily? Do we got a vote count there?
I think somebody told me it's like 60-40.
All right, that's fair enough.
But I think it was 60-40. It was more than that, but the last resolution about the express to disappointment and canceling, that one was 60-40. I think the other ones
were higher.
Were higher, yes.
Okay. Well, I mean, not everyone was disappointed, Jeff. We got to accept that fact. Not everyone was disappointed. All's well that ends well. When we come back, blog of the week. Stay tuned.
Communication's never been as easy as today, and it would make me happy when you've gone so far away. You sent me an email that says I love you.
Often imitated, never equaled. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues, Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues, Etc. Dolores Statz, David Wegenke, Stan Zuber, Stacy Berkerley, Edmund and Joyce Lohman, Gary Helms, Linda Helms, Pastor Matthew Shive, Sandra Ottison, and Mark Ottison. Thanks for your support.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
We all agree words have meaning. Words are very important when it comes to the battle over abortion. The mainstream media, largely no friend of unborn babies, is well aware of this and uniformly refuses to call us pro-life. We're always described as anti-abortion, while at the same time, pro-abortion people are defined as pro-choice or abortion rights advocates. Get it? Anti-abortion sounds negative, while abortion rights advocates sounds positive. Now, in the wake of the murder of a late-term abortionist, the media are beginning to have a reawakening of sorts. Several headlines have now used the term pro-life to describe the suspected murderer or his associations. If you think some in the media are trying to link us with those who murdered, you'd be right. Take the media with a grain of salt.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Village Lutheran Church in Ladue thanks God for His saving gift of faith through Christ and invites you to share in this gift by worshiping with us Sunday mornings at 8:15 or 10:45. We're conveniently located 1 mile west of the Galleria on Clayton Road. For more information, call 314-993-1834 or visit villagelutheranchurch.org. Village Lutheran Church, ordinary people loved by an extraordinary God. villagelutheranchurch.org.